if you will remember this morning, I said the reason he came down from above, number one, was to satisfy God. Number two was to save sinners. And number three was to silence Satan. That's the reason he was born on this earth. That was three distinctive reasons that we know that he came to be born of a virgin, live 33 years, die on an old rugged cross, be buried and rise again on the third day. Now he's seated in the heavens on the right hand of the Father. No other man has the authority to sit on that seat. Even his disciples want to know who would sit on the right and who would sit on the left. And you know what Jesus told him? He told him no man could do it, but he said you cannot handle what comes with sitting at that seat. He said there's a cup that must be drinking of to sit at that seat, and you don't have the authority to drink that cup. And he even asked the Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But you know what the Lord's will was. He went on and hung on the cross of Calvary because of our sin, but most of all because he loved you and I. So tonight, I want to finish up tonight with a little subject tonight on substitution tonight. A substitute, and that's what he is. This Christmas season, when you think about Jesus and you see Merry Christmas and you see all these things. You see the Christmas lights and you see all the wonders that he's done. You remember, he's your substitute. You should have hung on that cross and I should have hung on that cross. But because of Jesus Christ, I have a substitute. You know what a substitute is? It's not a fill-in when you couldn't do. It's somebody that done something that you could not do. Amen? That's what this substitute is tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 21 tonight. I would ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word, and just want to preach a little subject on substitution tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 21, the Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Our Father and our God, as we stand in your presence tonight, Father, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity to come to your house tonight and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we've heard a prayer request all over this place tonight. People that are sick, people that need help tonight, and Father God, people that need you to rain down in their life and help them as only you can. Lord, I pray tonight that you move in a mighty way through this service tonight. I pray you show us who our substitute is tonight, and his name is Jesus tonight. Lord, I love you and I thank you. I just can't get the word love and thankfulness off my heart tonight. Lord God, that you was my substitute. When I needed a way out, you made that way. And when I needed a new start, you gave me that new start. And Lord, I thank you for that tonight. Bless the reading of your word. Bless this time. And we ask it all in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Substitution tonight. When we come here tonight and we look at the word substitution, I want to give you something tonight. When Jesus came down, he became our substitution. When he left heaven and come to earth, at that point, he became our substitution. Substitution tonight, to know what substitution is, you and I, we must know the definition of substitution. Substitution tonight, the definition is a person or thing put in the place of another, or to exchange one for another tonight. As we look in this text tonight in verse number 21, I want you to look tonight at the explanation in the Scripture. And all the way through tonight, we're going to look at what the Scripture says tonight, and we see the explanation in the Scripture of our substitute tonight. There's going to be a key word that you see all night long through here, and this word would mean substitute, and it's a little three-letter word called for. So tonight, he is for us, and he's not against us tonight. If you look at the explanation in the Scripture, if we look here tonight, he says in verse number 21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered us, leaving us example that we should follow in his steps." We see that explanation tonight. It says, "For even hereunto were you called." He was our substitute. He was called to be our substitute. If you'll turn with me tonight, I want to show you the explanation through the scripture tonight. If you'll turn with me tonight to 1 Timothy chapter number 2 in verse number 6 tonight, I want to show you this explanation that is given forth tonight in the scripture. I don't know about you tonight, but I love looking into the Word of God and seeing what the Word of God teaches tonight. And if we look tonight in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 in verse number 6, Paul was talking to young Timothy, and he said, I want to explain to you what this substitute has done in your life, where he has stepped up to the plate and made all things new. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse, let's do verse number 5. There's that word again I told you, F-O-R, four. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. I said that this morning. The man, Christ Jesus. He is your mediator tonight. He is the one when you pray, he takes what you pray to God the Father tonight. You have no authority, and I have no authority tonight to enter in the Holy of Holies tonight. The only reason I have that authority tonight is because of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says in verse number 6, who gave himself a ransom, and there's that word again, for all. You said, who was he a substitute for, preacher? Was he just a substitute for the Jews? Oh no, he was a substitute for all. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everybody that ever will be born, and anybody that ever is born, needs this substitute in their life tonight. He said, who gave himself a ransom. What is that? He paid the payment. He paid the price. He went to Calvary. He said, who gave himself a ransom from all to be testified in due time. And we see that tonight, that Paul was telling young Timothy that you have somebody that's a substitute for you in the life that you live. I don't know about you or not, but there's a lot of times in my life I thank God he is my substitute. Don't you? Hey, when things come my way and things come your way, he stands in front of a lot of things. Have you ever thought about the things that you pray for that never comes to pass? You worry about them, you pray about them, you fret about them, and you wonder what's going to happen if that comes to pass. And as long as you pray and you do, they never come to pass. You never have to fight that battle in your life. You know why? Because your substitute has stepped into place. He stepped in there and he made all things new. Hey, but we see tonight, if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter number 5, not only do we see that he himself did that, but Romans chapter number 5 tonight, I love what the text says tonight. And here's this three-letter word again, for tonight. He said he's done something for you, and he's done something for me, and that is this, he is our substitute tonight. He says in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 6, look what the Bible says. For when we were without strength, when we had not the strength to do what we needed to do, what happened? We had a substitute to step in. Friends, can I say to you tonight, we did not have no pinch hitter. We didn't have that in the walk that we live. We had a substitute. Instead of us going to the cross, instead of us shedding our blood, Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary because he is that substitute tonight. He says in Romans 5:6, for when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. If you think about that tonight, and we think about that substitute, he become the substitute for the ungodly, for the one before he was ever born again, before he ever stepped foot in the church, before he ever knew the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus became your substitute. And look what he says in verse number 7. And this is the world we live in. For scarcely, hey, you ain't going to find this hardly, he said. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. He said, hardly ever will a man lay his life down for a righteous man. He said, but look what he said in verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But verse number 8, here's the explanation of that substitute. But God. That's an amen right there, brother. I guarantee you. But God. B.J. Mills goes to hell, but God, I have heaven. My family destroys and is worth nothing, but God, now we have a home in heaven. But God, you see what I'm saying? He says here, he said, I want to explain to you in the scriptures this substitute, what he done in your life and in my life. And he says this tonight, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we was filthy and defiled and wretched as we are, Christ died for you and he died for me on an old cross called Calvary. Friends, this Christmas season, that's why we talk about the birth, but I want you to know that birth, it was important because it provided us a substitute. And I want you to get this tonight. When he died on that cross, he became our substitution. The great Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, you can define with four words what a substitution is in Jesus Christ. And here's the four words that Charles Spurgeon gave. Here's the four words. He said, he died for me. He said, if you want to know what Jesus Christ means to me, he died for me. He was my substitute. We see in the scripture tonight the explanation in scripture of our substitute. But let's look tonight at the examples in the scripture of our substitute. If you go back to 1 Peter chapter number 2, in verse number 21, for even hereunto were you called. All right, he said, what are we called? There's the explanation. He lets us know how we was called. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. But look here, also suffered us, leaving us what? An example. He said, I've left you an example to go by. You know what I love more than anything is an example, don't you? Give me something I can see, a visual that I can see that I can go by, and I'll do a lot better at it. And tonight, if you want to turn there, you can. In Genesis chapter number 22, one of the greatest examples of a substitute is this. Do you remember when Abraham, he went up on Mount Moriah and to offer Isaac in Genesis 22? And he went up on that mount, and as they went to that place, Isaac, he asked his father this. He said, Daddy, where's the substitute? Where's the sacrifice? Where's the offering at? Where are we going to have? I see we have the wood and we have the altar and we have everything we need. And he says, where's the sacrifice at? And you know what Abraham said? He said, God will provide himself. He said he'll provide himself, and that's what he did. And when he got there, you know what happened? That ram, it was caught in the thicket behind him. That ram become a substitute for Isaac. Friends, this afternoon, Jesus Christ is your substitute, and he is my substitute. He's my scapegoat. Amen. He's my scapegoat. When I need a way out, he's the one that lets me out tonight. He says tonight, not only one example tonight is Abraham on Mount Moriah when he offered up Isaac and that ram that was caught in the thicket, but I thought about this one too. If you'll turn with me to John chapter number 18 and verse number 14. Hey, you can find that example in the Old Testament. Hey, but you can find that example in the New Testament as well. In John chapter number 18 and verse number 14 tonight, I want you to get this. What the Lord says here in John 18 and verse number 14 tonight. Do you remember? I'm talking about a substitute now. We've seen the explanation, but now we see the examples of a substitute. John chapter number 18 and verse number 14. We get here, and you know what's happening. They've come to this place, and there's one that must die. Hey, Caiaphas here, he's come here and he says, there's one that must die among you. It's that time of year. And look what he says in verse number 14 of John 18. He says, now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. You remember that? Hey, they done brought Jesus in. They done accused him. They brought him to that place. And they said, hey, here we got two men here. We got, and you're talking about an example of a substitute. He said, we got two men here. What are we going to do? He said, it's custom that one man gets slaughtered and one man gets let go. There's one man that can be released. And who do you want? Do you want Jesus Christ, the King of Nazareth, the one that does no wrong? He is the King of the Jews. Do you want him? Hey, there's nothing found wrong in this man. Or do you want Barabbas? Which one do you want? And you know here in John 18 and verse number 40, you know what they started screaming? Give us Barabbas. Amen? That's what they wanted. Look what he says here in John 18 and verse number 40. You're talking about an example of a substitute. And then cried they all again, saying, not this man. Not this man, but Barabbas. Who am I going to turn loose? He wanted to know the high priest. He wanted to know, who am I going to turn loose? He said, not this man. Not the man that's done nothing wrong. Not the man that's innocent. Not the man that has healed people, healed the blind. Hey, he saved people. Not him. Crucify him. Folks, tonight, if that don't give you an example, I don't know what does. He was even Barabbas' substitute. That speaks. That speaks. They wanted Jesus Christ crucified, and they said, just give us Barabbas. Look what he says here. Now, Barabbas, look what he says in verse number 40. Now, Barabbas was what? A robber. Is that not how we live now? This man's did nothing. What a great example of a substitute. This man Jesus has done nothing. And they said, no, just give us Barabbas. Folks, tonight, even Jesus Christ was Barabbas' substitute. Preacher, how do you know that? But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When he turned Barabbas loose, and he went out through there, and he was loose and free, and everything that was on him was set free. You know where all his penalty and all his punishment and all of his pain and all everything that was on him, you know who it went upon? Jesus Christ. It wouldn't be long. There's John 18. You fix and get to John 19 and 20 and 21, and you fix and see the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And friends, when he hung on that old rugged cross, I want you to know he hung on that cross for Barabbas, who was a robber. He hung on that cross for Brother BJ, who is a sinner. Hey, I line up with a lot of things in the world of God that I used to be, but thank God now, but God, I'm not them things. Can I get an amen? Hey, I seen the explanation that was in the Word of God that explained to me that I had a substitute. It explained to me that I had an example, and his name was Jesus Christ, and I don't have to keep living that life or going that way. Hey, this Christmas season ought to be the most happiest time for somebody that's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? This is our Savior's birth, and he says he's our substitute. I said tonight the explanation in Scripture of the substitute. When you explain that substitute tonight, and you see the examples of that substitute tonight, there's an expectation. That's where we get to us. When you have an explanation and it lays it out there how it's supposed to be done, and you have an example, you see an example to follow, which is Jesus Christ, there becomes an expectation in your life and in my life. And I want to show you tonight, when Jesus Christ was born, he was born to be the Savior of the world. And when you become born again, there's an expectation put on your life. There is. To every born again believer, there's high expectations on you, by the way. They're not low. They're not down here. They're high. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of you. Oh, yes. For by grace. But that grace is not to be trampled on and to be ridiculed over or none of them things. I have an expectation in my life, and you do too, to hold up to a standard that God had set for me, and he has set that standard for you. He was our substitute. Have you ever thought about that? I've thought about that for some time. How that this man became my substitute. He died in my place. He died in your place. So I were to be expected to do something besides just getting saved and living like I want to. Can I get a witness? I'm expected to do something. I'm going to show you in Scripture. I wouldn't have said that if it wasn't in Scripture. I have an expectation that's been put on my life. If Brother Kevin McDaniel looks at me, you ought to see me walking after Christ. My walk and my talk and everything I do ought to be lined up with the one that died for me. If somebody in this room tonight said, I'll tell you what, you was bad sick, and they said, look, you go on, I'm going to take your place. Somebody's got to die, but I'm going to take your place. I'm going to die for you. Would you not have a memorial to that individual? Would you not think about that individual every single day? Man, yeah. Man, it took your place. And when he took my place and he took your place on that cross and he become my Savior, not only did the explanation is in the Word of that substitute. Not only is he an example we see throughout the Bible, but there's expectation that's been put on your life, has been put on mine. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and we're going to read just a few verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and we're going to start with verse number 14 tonight. The expectations that's put on your life tonight when you got born again. When I asked Jesus Christ to save me, I expected some things from him. I did. Hey, that preacher told me that if I gave my life to Jesus, that he'd deliver me from some things. And he did. But I have my part to deal with that as well. And he says tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 14, do you remember that we used the word F-O-R for? And I told you that meant substitute. He's going to be our substitute for that. For the love of Christ constraineth us. 2 Corinthians 5:14. We thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Right there, let's stop. What are you talking about, preacher? What expectation is that? I should no longer live unto myself, but unto him which died for me and rose again. That substitute that became in my life, when he was born of a virgin, he lived, he died, he rose again, give me the opportunity to be born again. At that point, when I took him as my substitute, and I said, save my soul. At that point, he put an expectation on my life for me to no longer live the way I want to live, but to live the way the one that died for me wants me to live. Self-explanatory. When you are not living the way that he's called you to live, you will have no peace and you will have no joy in your life. But what he says, wherefore, verse 16, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, we now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, in verse number 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He's expected us to live unto him. He's expected us to live righteously. And he's expected us to live as a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm going to share this with you. In verse number 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given up to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what that is? That's being reconciled back to God. That's having a right standing before God Almighty. Do you know how I have a right standing before God and you have a right standing before God? Only by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By nothing else but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because he's my substitute, he expects me to do something in the life that I live. In the life that I live. I'd ask you a question tonight. When you go to work tomorrow, there are going to be some things that's going to be expected of you, right? On a daily basis, I have things that is expected of me. But one of the most highest standards that God has put on my life and he's put on yours is he's expecting me to live a life that is pleasing to him. A life that is pleasing to him. We said this morning that it pleased God. It satisfied God. When it satisfied God to send him as our substitute, it saves sinners and it silenced Satan. If you'll live your life according to the way the Word of God calls it tonight, I promise you this, you will have joy unspeakable in your life. Throughout this season, I think about a lot of things, but I think about one thing, and this is it. Not only did he come and he was born at this time, but at that time, as soon as he was born, immediately he started heading to the cross. This morning, Adrian Rogers said, do not get caught up with the star that was at Bethlehem. Make sure you get caught up with the scars that was at Calvary. That is so true. And he said this when he showed them nail-scarred hands to Thomas. You know what a scar is? A scar is something that's done been healed. It's done been healed. A scar has done been healed. And he said when he showed him them scars, he believed. Folks, tonight our substitute is this. He took my pain, he took your pain, he took my punishment, and he took your punishment on the cross of Calvary to be our substitute. He explains that in the Word of God. He gives us examples in the Word of God because he's put an expectation on you and I to live for him. This Christmas season that we're going through, I know in prayers tonight I heard men pray. Man, our church is, we are have a lot going on, a lot of COVID, a lot of sickness, and a lot of things. But he is our substitute, and by his stripes we're healed. Anything you got going on this coming up week, I challenge you to put anything that'll come your way this week on that substitute. Put it on Christ Jesus. Let him bear that load. Trust me, he can handle it. He is the load bearer tonight. Amen? Let us pray. Our Father,